Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's be honest to one another. Haven't you wanted to just run away?
Oh yeah.
Just chuck it off. Leave all the responsibilities, all the troubles, all the worrisome people that are getting all over your case, and just go. Maybe to the mountains, maybe to the coastline, wherever your nirvana is. Haven't you just wanted to just go away and leave it all behind? That, no doubt, for me anyway, has been true at times. I can honestly admit that. And I'm not saying that's necessarily entirely bad. You know, sometimes there is something to be said for discretion is the better part of valor. But there are times when just standing there banging your head against the wall only produces a bloody head. But does it really work to run away? Can you ever really run away? And what does that mean to try to do that when you're talking about running away from God? Well, let's look back. Believe it or not, people in the Bible dealt with a lot of the same kind of frustrations and issues and concerns we did. And I think of poor Jeremiah, because I'm going to talk more about him. I'm going to talk about the gospel, but I'm going to talk about Jeremiah. Because just picture yourself in his footprints. Did you look at that lesson again? Jeremiah is told, basically, you didn't choose me, I'm choosing you, buddy. You got no choice in the matter. It isn't like he volunteered. Jeremiah did not volunteer. God throws the ultimate card on the table, you know. Before you were even formed. This is not a passage about when life starts, because he goes to various places in the scripture about that. It says, before you were even formed, I chose you. In other words, I don't want to hear any excuses. You have got nothing to claim of not being able to do this. I have chosen you to do this. Well, Jeremiah was stupid. You know, he knew the fate of prophets. Prophets are never welcome in their own hometown, as Jesus made clear, nor were they very welcomed in biblical times, because they were tasked with telling people the truth, and the truth from God. And that's not often a very popular thing in their time. And I'm going to tell you, in our time as well. We like to hear what's comfortable, you know. We like to hear what we already think we know about stuff. We don't want, as people generally, to be confronted with the truth. So Jeremiah is stupid. He comes up with excuses. He does his best, you know, Porky Pig, you know. Well, I'm too young. You know, he starts to throw out excuses. That's it. Nah, doesn't work, buddy. Doesn't work. And perhaps Jeremiah remembered the psalmist quote, if I run away to Sheol, the place of the dead, even you're there, even there, God. Like, it doesn't do any good to run away from God. It really doesn't. And so Jeremiah doesn't run away. And I thought about that. Isn't it curious that throughout Scripture, people who know better, and I want to make that clear, these people were not ignorant. They knew the risks they were taking when they undertook many of the tasks they undertook. In fact, Jesus, you know, in another passage says, count up, know the cost of what you do, but then God calls us through Jesus to do it anyway sometimes. And that's where Jeremiah was. Jeremiah was more afraid of what the people would do to him, the kings and those in authority, than he was of God's message initially. But God told him, I'm going with you. That's pretty good. But it doesn't solve a lot of problems, did it? I'm sure Jeremiah would like to have a nice list on a sheet of paper or a computer printout telling him at what time God was going to do it and what God wanted to say and what was going to happen. So he had all the neat answers. That doesn't happen either. Like every other character in these scriptural stories, they knew no more about where they were going and what they were doing than you and I do. But the remarkable thing is that somehow this love of God that they experienced, this powerful God who spoke to them directly through love and grace in the community. Notice Jesus, when he proclaims his message, says, in your hearing, and that's plural in the Greek. I want to be very clear of that. In your hearing, when the assembly was gathered, the word has been fulfilled. I.e., you don't know where you're going, you don't know what you're going to do, but you're going to be okay as a group, because I'll give you what you need to have. We want more, don't we? And we don't want to be sent somewhere. We want to choose where we get to go and how we get to do it. It's not what happens to Jeremiah. And it's not what happens to Jesus. And it's not even what happened to Paul. this beautiful passage about love, and it's about agape love, that is the self-sacrificing love of Jesus, is very clear in the Greek of this version, doesn't choose to go there because Paul has a lot of problems with the church at Corinth. They were self-centered. They thought they knew better than everybody else. Gee, who would that be like? Me. I'm talking about myself here. You know, I'm sure Paul would rather have done other things. But he didn't get to choose. God chose him. God called him as part of a community to bear witness to things. That's true today. Those events were thousands of years ago. But really, has much changed? Aren't you and I called through baptism? Whether we were adults or children, it wasn't exactly like we decided to accept God. God chose us first. God has the ultimate card to throw on the table. He calls us. And whether you think about it this way or not, I believe it's true. You didn't choose to come to church today. You were called here. Called your family. And I know, don't give me this bit that you wanted to be here all the time. I don't want to be at church all the time. I'm sure none of you want to be here all the time either. But we come. Why? Because here we are told the truth. The truth about God's love and the truth about our own failings, which we don't want to hear, but we need to hear anyway. And the truth about the fact that God does go with us, but God doesn't give us all the answers on the way. I'm sure, I'd bet money that Jeremiah would have loved to ask God a few more questions like, where am I going? What am I going to do? How's it going to work out? But what God tells him is, you go, I'll give you the words. I'll give you what you need to go. Isn't the greatest act of faith in the church the fact that we pick up our feet, get our rear ends off of the seat, and go? To church, yes, to gather as community, but also to be sent out the world. That's why we have a dismass, a dismissal at the end of it, because the mission that we're captured in hereby doesn't stay here. It sends us out those doors. And you notice that was true for Jeremiah. He didn't go to the people he wanted to go to. He was sent to those whom God was having a problem with. And they had a lot of authority, and they could do bad things to him, and they did some of them. But he went because he had been so captured by God's love and mercy that he knew no matter where he ran, he couldn't run away from God. Just ask Jonah. Jonah tried. You know that story. And in the end, Jonah goes too. That's what the church does. I can't tell you what you're going to encounter today out in the world. I can't give you all nice, neat little answers to find you on your way, but I can promise you that the same God who walked with Jeremiah, the same God who walked when Jesus walked on this earth, is the same God who calls us to get up and go. To go where? Well, look at what Jeremiah did. Look what Jesus starts talking about. You know why he got in trouble, didn't you? He had the crowd on his side. If he's a politician, he'd quit right there. You know. But he told them the truth. That God quite often doesn't agree to their little boundaries. The little sticking God in a box and only caring for certain people or only thinking about certain things. He tells them that throughout Scripture, God has cared for those on the outside. That God didn't just take care of Israel. That he sent the prophet Elijah. And Elijah, I try to pronounce them a little differently, they sound the same. To adopt people inside who were in the know, in the knowledge, in the power, but to take that message of hope and grace out into the world among the outcasts and those who don't know. That's why the people wanted to throw Jesus off the cliff. He didn't give them what they wanted. He gave them the truth that God's grace and mercy is going to change us. And it's going to make us go places we don't expect to go and care for people we didn't choose to care for. As a reminder, because we were not choosing God. God chose us. God wants us this day to pick up our feet and move. And I say, I don't have the answers, but I have the promise for me and for you that when we get up and walk out of this place, God will provide as a community with the resources we have, with the talents we have, and the ability we have to make a difference in this world. Whether we see it or not, whether the people we go to even like it or not, God walks with us, works through us. If they like to say in the ELCA, we're God's hands and feet, but God's the one who provides the intellect and the drive that takes us out there. So no, I can't tell you. I won't give you a nice little 5-point plan on how to be a servant of God this day. I don't know. But I do know that if we are filled with the presence of God in this place of worship, if when we gather together there's some spark or something in here, it is to be shared and to be walked out into an unfriendly world at times. We're not going to be liked all the time. People won't like to be cared for. They don't want to hear the good news sometimes. But God's will be done. God will go with us. Like Jeremiah. Like Martin Luther King in a Birmingham cell, or Dietrich Bonhoeffer facing execution. The choices may not be great ones, but that power and presence of God so envelop us, we will go. Unknowingly, perhaps, uncertainly, most definitely, but when we pick up our feet in faith, God will walk us to and where He wants us to be. But always remember, you didn't choose God. God chosen you, blessed you to be His visible sign in this world this day. So let's gather together. Let's sing the hymns. Let's be empowered, but not to take it home with ourselves, but to share it like the prophets and all the people who've gone before us made a difference in this world by daring to believe and be. I chose you, God says. Go forth in my name. Amen.